Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, freedom is one of the key words of the modern age. The thrust of modernity is to free men from the bonds of past intellectually and politically. Man has to leave the tutelage of tradition and stand finally on his own two feet. And the modern age prides itself as the time where man finally reaches the age of adulthood and leaves childhood and parental control. As the German philosopher Kant stated it, enlightenment is man's release from his self-incurred tutelage. Sapere aude, have the courage to use your own reason. That is the motto of enlightenment, and you might say the motto of modern times. And politically, the project freedom is liberation from any power that derives its authority not from the governed. That rhetoric of freedom is deeply ingrained in American history. It starts with Patrick Henry's cry, "Give me liberty or give me death," and it continues up to Operation Iraqi Freedom. That man is free, that he has a right of self-determination, that he decides that he can and ought to throw off the shackles of the past, the bondage inflicted on him by tradition, be it as ancient as it may. That man is free to emancipate himself, and that any obligation exists only by his consent. That is the pathos of modernity. Man has to realize that this freedom is his, that he can escape being guided and manipulated and tutored by others. And modernity also has a place for Luther and the Reformation in this project. Luther is the precursor, the herald of liberty from priestcraft, who maintained the right of the individual to be the supreme judge in religious matters and therefore self-determined. Now, I'm not about to discredit the political and intellectual freedom we gained. I do not long for the old times where absolute monarchs sat on thrones and everybody had to bow. But what Luther drove is totally missed when he is seen as a part of the struggle for man's autonomy. Luther's main concern was Christ, not man's autonomy. Yes, Luther did talk a lot about freedom. One of his most famous treatises is On the Freedom of a Christian. But he does not fit the modern rhetoric of liberation, because he defines bondage differently. Luther learned from Christ that the problem of man is not some outward domination. The problem of man is the bondage of sin. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. We are the servants, the serfs of sin. But we are it happily. No appeal to our will helps, because we want to be slave of sin. No appeal to our reason, and the way Kant did it, helps us, because our intellect is in darkness, in a darkness no human word can enlighten. And that's why Luther wrote another book, a book he deemed to be his best, called On the Enslaved Will, or as it's mostly translated, On the Bondage of the Will. That made him less a hero of modernity. That we are not master of our fate, that we are not self-determined, but that we live in a slavery we can't throw off. And that the most cunning thing about that slavery is that it gives us the illusion of freedom. That is not a popular thing to say. It was not popular in the time of the Reformation. It was not popular in the time of Jesus. When he speaks about slavery, he gets a not very pleased answer. We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? That's the indignant answer of those Jews who believed in Jesus, not the unbelievers, the believers. They can't stomach that. Even they had their problems. It is a message that humbles our pride. It hits the center of who we are, who we think we are. It uncovers that this picture of ourselves as master of ourselves, that we are free, not under tutelage, adults finally, not slaves, is wrong. That is the lie of man's life. And Jesus uncovers this lie. We cannot free ourselves. God alone can issue a declaration of emancipation, and he has done. The truth shall make you free. That truth is Christ. And in order to free us, he had to do more than teach us or stir us up or give us some weapons so that we might become freedom fighter and gain our independence. He had to die for us. He had to buy us out of slavery, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. He has set us free. He has set us free from sin. He has set us free to serve him. So, now that we are free, that doesn't mean that we are determined by ourselves or some kind of autonomy. It does not mean, oh, now I'm free, now I am my Lord. It means, now I belong to the Lord, God Almighty. Now I am his servant. True freedom is not license, but to live the way we were intended to live as creatures of God, calling upon him as our Father, receiving his gifts with thanksgiving, and living a life not centered on ourselves, but centered on the good of our neighbor. To serve God is freedom. It sounds paradoxical, but it's true. And this freedom we have only in the truth who is Christ. And this Christ we have only in his word and sacrament. We live as freed men, a free life, when we live in Christ. And we stay in Christ when we stay in his word and in his word alone. When we stay in baptism, where we were liberated from the powers of evil for a life of love. When we stay in the words, given for you for the forgiveness of sins, shed for you. In this holy meal where we are liberated from our past, freed to a life of love. Outside of this Christ, outside of these words, there is bondage. And this bondage is also for a danger for the liberated Christian. Because the powers of evil are never content to let their serfs go. They are rather like Pharaoh, who, after the Israelites have left Egypt, thinks, well, I might get them back. The powers of evil try to get you back. They try to get you back by detracting you from Christ and his words, by establishing surrogates for him and his words. There is always the lure for the individual Christian and for the church to revert to the slavery of sin so that they do not continue in Christ's word but live instead on human words. We thank Christ that he is and has been calling back his church, that has been and is selling her birthright in the Father's house for a pottage of lentils. God has used the work of Luther and his co-workers to call his church back to the freedom in Christ. We pray that he will call us back when we fall out of his word and listen to the lure of sin that entices us to prefer the bondage of sin to the freedom of the children of God. Today, several of our students will receive assignments for vicarage and a call. You will continue your education, or you have finished and now will do the things for which you were educated. And the goal of it was and is that you are instruments of Christ to bring freedom to those in the slavery of sin and to keep those free in freedom who have been liberated. What a great work to do, to bring freedom and to keep people free. You will preach the gospel and administer the sacraments, the instruments of the Spirit. And as Paul reminds us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from sin and the destructive forces of evil. Freedom to love God and our neighbor. Amen.